jagged walls of the mollusk-covered rocks. Ryan's boat, grounded in the shingle, only moved a little from the waves. Near Ryan's hand, where he steadied himself on the thwart, was the shaft of one of the long killing harpoons, its curved end glittering in the dawn.
Bastard belly rippers! Canst thou not make 'em hold still or go out into the open Atlantic, Mr. Ogg?
Do better.
He fired three spaced rounds at the nearest shark. The weaving killer that Ogg had fired at disappeared for several seconds. Allowing for the deflection effect of the clear water, it wasn't likely that the first mate had harmed it. But to everyone's shock and amazement, the shark surfaced, trailing a ribbon of blood behind it. The long tail thrashed at the water, kicking up a spray of blinding foam. Ryan saw two of the other creatures, tasting blood, move in on the wounded beast. One lashed out with its tail as it rolled, teeth locked in the flesh of its comrade, throwing a huge wave across the cove. Piraquad's boat careened sideways, sending Cyrus Ogg tottering into his skipper, arms clasping her as he fought for balance. Petrified by the sudden hazard of toppling into the frothing sea, the woman also staggered, hands waving and pushing at her first mate. For a crazed second, they were both helpless, and Ryan reacted. The blaster was too far off, so he dropped his hand to the narrow wooden shaft of the whaling iron, drawing it smoothly from the bow of the boat. He braced himself and aimed in a single fluid movement. Piraquad had seen him go for the lance and was opening her mouth to scream at Ogg. Off balance, struggling in the bow of the pitching dory, she still managed to snap off two shots at Ryan before he let go of the harpoon. One gouged a long splinter of curling wood from the seat, the other whistled past his right ear, but the iron was thrown. The point hit the woman below the breastbone, an inch to the right, piercing through her lungs and emerging under her right shoulder blade. The Astra fell from her hand. The long, ugly shaft of the lance protruded from her chest, impaling her like a collector's specimen. Her eyes were wide open, showing the whites all around the dark pupils. They were fixed to Ryan Cotter's face, as though she were seeking to memorize it. Her mouth opened and closed, but not a sound broke the heavy silence of the cove.
That's for Flynn, you crazy bitch.
Piraquad toppled into the frothing water without a single last word, falling among the flailing tails and teeth of the maddened great whites, bouncing off one of the creatures, her booted feet and the hem of the pretty dress, the last to vanish.
Gaia!
With the exception of Lori, every one of the others had gone for their blasters, using the distraction of the sharks and the thrown harpoon to cover them. Four guns aimed in the direction of the hapless seaman, who was standing utterly stricken as he watched his captain go over the side. The Webley trailed at his side, and his eyes were turned to the pitching water. Piraquad wasn't quite gone. The huge, muty sharks were so crazed that they got in one another's way as they tried to tear at the body of the dying woman. She was tossed from side to side, rising and falling, the broken end of the lance appearing and vanishing repeatedly.
Saints preserve us all.
As she was drawn beneath the sea for the very last time, her desperate eyes were still fixed to the face of Ryan Cotter, who then turned to look across the bloodied waves to the motionless figure of Cyrus Ogg. As Ryan picked up his own blaster, the first mate shrugged his shoulders expressively, letting his gun slide to join the mangled corpse of his captain.
I named thee wrong, Outlander Deadman. I should have called the Outlander One from One, for that's all it took to slay her.
Ryan looked steadily along the barrel of his pistol, the familiar weight and balance of the Sig Sauer P226 filling his hand. The mate shrugged again, looking like a benevolent old uncle, the fringe of white hair pasted about the ruddy cheeks by the tossed spray. The sharks had left the tiny bay as suddenly and mysteriously as they'd come, leaving the white-bellied, raggled carcass of their fellow. Apart from the film of oily blood, there was not a single trace of Captain Quad's body.
I'm no threat to thee, Outlander. Not now. Go your ways, and my blessings go with y'all.
The serrated grip of the pistol was cool and damp against Ryan's hand. He looked across the small space of water at the obsequious figure of the Salvation's first mate. The sailor threw his arms wide, back over the side of the whaleboat, landing spread-eagled like a fallen star. Ryan jumped from their boat.
Come on, people. Looks like we're done here.
Captain Deacon proved to have been correct in his guesstimate of their position. Using the miniature folding sextant, JB was able to work out that they'd come ashore on one of the many little islands just off the mainland, and that the redoubt they'd left was only 6 miles to the west. The fog had finally dissipated, and the morning sun rose on a most beautiful New England day. The sea was calm, and the monsters of the deep, if they were close by, sailed past with their jaws sheathed. The boat kept in close to the shore. No one wanted to risk another encounter with the hideous patches of sentient weed. The land rose above them in rolling hills, mostly covered with bright stands of maple, beech, and oak. They moved easily through the placid sea, and ahead Ryan could make out the outlines of the stone redoubt, could see the spidery outline of the rusting ladder that they'd climbed through the teeth of the screaming gale. Coming in by sea, they would be able to reach the jammed entrance gates without any trouble, once the setting of the tide was right for them. They would find out if Ryan had indeed remembered to lock shut the doors into the twin gateway chambers.
Keep your dreams as clean as silver. This may be the last hurrah.
The tide was high, and they had to tie the boat to an enormous red iron mooring ring a few feet away from the doors. Ryan noticed that the gap hadn't altered, and piles of loose sand and mottled seaweed had collected around the dark opening. Eventually, the water fell far enough to reveal the worn concrete of the landing platform. The stone was rough and pitted, showing the rusted ends of iron. Most of them had slept during the four-hour wait, but Ryan had stayed awake, as had Christy. She had used the time to bring him up to date on what happened back in Claggartville, and how they'd managed to escape on the Phoenix.
I'll be happy to get out of here, lover.
Long as the gateway's not flooded out.
Sure. Always that chance, isn't there? What would you do if we couldn't make another jump from here?
Guess we'd have to try to make our way across to that redoubt in the Mohawks. Nearest we know about from here.
You wouldn't want to stop around here if the gateway wasn't functioning?
Claggartville? No, lover. Not here.
Anywhere?
Somewhere. He smiled at the look on her face. Cheer up, Christy. We've gotten away light this time around. You know I want to settle. I don't know when and I don't know where, but one day. We'll just keep looking, and one day we'll find it.
Christy leaned nearer, kissing him gently on the lips.
Whatever you want, lover, I'm with you. All the way.
She pressed harder against him, her tongue sliding between his parted teeth, her hand fluttering across his muscular stomach, touching him.
Tide's down.
They both jumped and broke apart, grinning like guilty children.
One day, Ryan. I love you very much.
Love you too, lady.
They left the whaleboat tied to the ring by a long painter, in case they needed to get out of the redoubt by the same route. Ryan led the way, with JB bringing up the rear. Neither needed to say anything about how to work a patrol. It was second nature, as simple as breathing to them. The stone was covered in a fine, slippery layer of sand and weed, making the footholds treacherous. Doc helped Lori out with a courteous hand, receiving a wide smile from the teenager.
Sorry I've been a real bitch, Doc. Real sorry.
Feel anything, lover? No muties around?
Can't tell. Don't think so. Sure smells inside, though.
As Ryan pushed through the entrance, he saw inside what was causing the appalling stench. A manta ray had been sucked into the gap in the doors by the tugging current and not been able to angle its way out again. Its rotting carcass lay in 18 inches of salt water near the bottom of the flight of stairs that had earlier saved their lives.
Best not to hang around. If there's a problem near the gateway, we want to get out.